These space lanes will have to be used for direction of travel, and the energy they generate will have to be converted into propulsion power if we ever hope to safely travel and enjoy interplanetary relationships with our neighbors on other planets. 4. Recent developments. The United States and Russia are without doubt the leaders in the conquest of space. Many firsts can be claimed by both countries. America has approximately 10 times more satellites in orbit than Russia. We have the first successful weather satellite. Russia had the first successful space probe. Our probes are considered more sophisticated, as we have miniature transistor circuitry that allows us to achieve good results without the use of heavy payloads. Our sources of information indicate that Russia is ahead on high-thrust rockets but behind in scientific instrumentation. On March 6, 1960, the Los Angeles Times reported that information had been received from an ex-Soviet missile man, to the effect that Russia had twice successfully tested a giant nuclear rocket. The report originated from Hamburg, Germany. The informer has since vanished, after talking to two United States intelligence men, and confirmation is not likely. If the Russians had successfully tested a nuclear rocket, this puts them from 5 to 8 years ahead of our own projected program. Russia launched her first lunar probe on January 2, 1959. This probe, believed by our scientists to be aimed at the Moon, apparently missed and went on to successfully orbit the Sun. But was it an accident? Some evidence exists to show that the probe was never intended to hit the Moon. It is possible that it was used to photograph the far side of the Moon at least 8 months before the celebrated moonshot that is given credit for taking the pictures. While in Holland, prior to October 4, 1959, I heard an announcement over the BBC from England which stated that the Russians had discovered vegetation on the far side of the Moon. The Russian astronomer quoted also said that the Moon was not composed of volcanic ash as had been supposed but instead was made up of decomposed granite, the same as the Earth. How could they have known of the vegetation on the Moon's far side unless they had photographs from Lunokhod? If they did take photos with Lunokhod, it is reasonable to assume that they retouched them before release to the United States. They certainly wouldn't want us to know what they had discovered, as they want to be first to the Moon and probably will try to claim it as Soviet territory. The pictures taken by Lunokhod 3 are probably still being kept secret. Lloyd Mallon, nationally known space photography specialist and science writer, has charged that the Russian photos are a fake. He has detected brush strokes on the pictures and states that some areas look like charcoal drawings. From Astronautics magazine, June, 1960, Russian moon photo found authentic by RAND Corporation, Santa Monica scientist Merton E. Davis. Russia may have retouched the photos before releasing them. I doubt if they faked them entirely as they must have known we will be taking pictures ourselves and would be able to show them up for what they were. The reason behind diary touching may be to keep secret the vegetation, trees and buildings of the space people based on the Moon's far side. Just as our government doesn't tell all it knows, so the Russian government doesn't tell all it has found out. A mapping engineer in Southern California found something very familiar about the Russian photos when they were released after October 6, 1959. From the illustration on the Hungarian stamp, printed in January 1959, it is quite evident the Russians had photographed the far side of the Moon prior to October 4, 1959. If the photo was indeed taken 8 months earlier, then what was accomplished on the Lunokhod 3 trip of October 4, 1959? It is entirely possible the Russians took better pictures that have not been released. Lunokhod 3 passed within 4,350 miles of the Moon and we are told that no pictures were taken until the rocket was 42,000 miles away. Why were pictures not taken while it was close to the Moon? I believe they were as I have outlined previously. The payload of Lunokhod 3 weighed a total of 614 pounds. In the third stage of the Russian rocket were 344 pounds of instruments and power supplies. The big question is, what happened to the 344 pounds of equipment in the third stage? Jodrell Bank radio telescope in England tracked the Soviet signals for 4 days. The first 2 days, All transmission was normal at frequencies of 183.6 and 39.986 megacycles. On the third day, when the rocket was 4.350 miles from the moon's far side, all kinds of strange things began to happen. According to Electronics Magazine for October 23, 1959, no transmission was received on 39.986 MC. Strong signals on 183.6 MC were received 2 minutes ahead of schedule and were characterized by a sequence not previously used by the Russians, consisting of 15-second signals spaced 15 seconds apart on the carrier wave. After 20 minutes, the transmission changed to irregular sequences on two very closely spaced frequencies, lasting about 36 minutes. After that, a steady signal resumed and lasted about 40 minutes until transmission ended. Two hiccups were heard later. On the fourth day, George Elbank picked up the 183.6 MC transmission normally but received 39.986 MC for only 2 minutes, 1 hour after transmission on the first frequency began. The conclusion reached by our scientists was that Russia has probably landed an instrument package on the moon that even now may be sending back information. Some reports are already filtering back to me of strange signals coming back to Earth from the moon. The conjecture is they are from the Russian instrument package. Is it possible that Russia landed a man on the moon some time ago? According to Soviet rocket specialist George Pokrovsky, in a statement released during February 1960, the possibility of disaster in landing and taking off from planets is not greater than in the case of aviation test pilots. Professor Pokrovsky concluded, "There are no obstacles, in principle, to ensuring the exact functioning of mechanical equipment over great distances, even at the moon. Since we have verified the existence of lunar atmosphere, is it possible that an Earthman is now living on the moon?" Two U.S. scientists recently reported to the first International Space Science Symposium in Nice, France, that the moon has an atmosphere. Their theory is that the moon has a cold atmosphere composed of neutral hydrogen and minute quantities of argon. The thing to keep in mind is that the moon has a pronounced bulge on this side. This means that the altitude will be higher than on the other side. As a result, it will have less vegetation and light rare than will be found on the far side. By checking a globe of the world, we find that most of the Earth's great deserts are on one side of the planet. So the moon is following a similar pattern. A very unusual thing occurred in Argentina early in February of 1960. For 3 weeks, the Argentine Navy and the United States experts depth-bombed and called for the surrender of two mysterious submarines. These so-called submarines lay in the bottom of Golfo Nuevo, a narrow bay separated from the ocean by a narrow entrance. They were chased by the Argentines all over the bay, and each time they were trapped, they managed to slip mysteriously away. They were able to stay submerged for several days at a time, and finally Argentine Navy Secretary Gaston Clementi told newsmen that the patrol in the Nuevo Golfo will be called off. These events occurred in a bay so compact that a good skin diver should have been able to polish off the sub with a few well-placed delayed action charges. Yet all the mighty Argentine Navy, even with modern United States equipment and advice, was unable to do the job. I had my ideas, but could not answer the questions asked until I received an explanation from the space travelers themselves. This came several weeks later, after the event was well silenced and events of the day were occupying people's attention. The answer was that they were spacecraft. They were studying the bottom of the ocean to learn about conditions on our planet that are not yet indicated on dry land areas. A number of such craft are making a thorough study of underwater lands, and naval ships of many nations have encountered them. For the most part, confidential, official reports or such encounters have been described as fantastic. But here again, although our friends would like to surface and make themselves, and what they are doing, known, our fears keep us in a state of hostility that prevents their doing so. Instead, they pass their findings on to others of their people who are working among our scientists and in other important places throughout the world. In turn, and in time, this information will be given to the people as findings from IGI research. yet it is with their help that we are able to keep better informed on changes taking place within our planet as it continues on its natural course and undergoes its natural changes. In the meantime, American space probes were revealing much new information about outer space. America's pioneer V uncovered a batch of major new space findings. These discoveries are shedding new light on the physical nature of the universe. They will help solve problems about the sun's influence on our weather and communications, and give additional data on the radiation bands found around our planet. The first direct observation of pure cosmic rays was accomplished. The observations were made at a distance of 3 million miles from the Earth. Pioneer V was riding through a storm of such rays kicked up by a huge sunspot. Evidence that the Earth's magnetic field acts like a superpowered dynamo to help feed radiation particles from the Sun to the Earth was also found. Pioneer V gave definite confirmation of the existence of a gigantic current of electricity encircling the Earth at between 28,000 and 52,000 miles altitude, seething with a current of 5 million amperes. An entirely new and disturbed magnetic field in space at between 40,000 and 60,000 miles from the Earth, and entirely independent of the Earth's own field, was also discovered. This shows that the interplanetary boundary of the Earth's own field is twice as far out as previously supposed. A new Air Force discovery was announced by the Air Force Cambridge Research Center of Bedford, Massachusetts. A new photography technique has produced maps of the Moon that show its surface is no more rugged than that of Earth. 5,000 photographs were taken, using timing instruments to record the march of shadows from various prominences across the face of the Moon. The program director, Charles F. Campen, stated that steep slopes or towering rocks are absent from the lunar surface, although there may be some exceptions. Pictures of the Moon for years have shown it to be a mass of cliffs. But the new technique, the Air Force said, indicates that this is not true. Another first for the United States was the obtaining of X-ray photographs of the Sun. This was accomplished by the United States Navy with a rocket fired 130 miles above New Mexico. At the same time this was going on, Dr. Wernher von Braun, the space scientist, said that it is likely that life exists in the universe outside the Earth. He said he foresaw an eventual meeting of an Earth astronaut with another being in space. In a speech to the Bureau of Advertising of the American Newspaper Publishers Association, von Braun stated, "There is good reason to assume, on purely scientific grounds and on evidence by observation, that life of some kind exists elsewhere in the universe. In my opinion, it is an entirely logical assumption. But I suggest," he also said, "that it will be an even more memorable occasion when the first American meets another being in space. We can hope the greeting will be 'Hello, Earthman,' and not 'Welcome, Tovaris.'" He went on to say that one of the United States' three ultimate purposes was to search for the origin of life and its likely presence outside the Earth. "Our scientists are just now admitting that the natural force of gravity can be controlled, and that the ultimate control mechanism will be some form of electronic device." This was brought out by Donald C. Hoefler writing in Electronic News Magazine for May 2, 1960. His source of information was Charles Tilgner, Jr., Chief Aeronautical Engineer of Grumman Aircraft Engineering Corporation, Bethpage, NY. He also listed 14 other companies engaged in some type of gravity research. "Now that minds have been turned in the right direction, it should not be long before some startling new ideas become apparent in the electronics industry. When the secret of gravity is finally revealed, the answer will be so simple that scientists will wonder why a schoolboy didn't think of it. Perhaps the answer has been published and the closed minds of today reject it or refuse to consider it. American satellites and rocket probes have accumulated so much data that it will take at least 10 years to digest and catalog the material. Of 11 American satellites still orbiting the Earth, 6 are still transmitting back valuable information. The Soviet has 3 still in orbit, all silent. Vanguard I has redrawn the face of the world and revealed that the Earth is not round, as previously believed, but bear-shaped, as Columbus believed in 1492. Explorer 7 sent back 300 miles of telemetered tape with information on trapped radiation and cosmic radiation showing a relationship between activity on the Sun and geomagnetic storms on the Earth. TROS, the weather satellite, has opened a new era in weather forecasting. It gives 400 photographs a day of the Earth's cloud cover and enables man to have his first look at global weather. Transit IB is the world's first navigational satellite. Its main use is to serve as a fixed star for navigational purposes. The present Transit is the first of four, and perhaps others will be in orbit by the time you read this. MIDAS 2 has proved the feasibility of a spy-in-the-sky satellite that can soon take the place of the now-defunct U-2 spy flights. With its infrared sensor, it can peer over 1,000 miles of territory a second as it orbits 300 miles above the Earth. With results like these, our science books are being thoroughly rewritten. New findings about spiral galaxies in space have been reported by Caltech astronomer Dr. Guido Munch, giving a more complete picture of the evolutionary processes of galaxies. The findings involve the movements of huge clouds of gas outward from the nucleus of the galaxy. These huge clouds were found to consist of oxygen and hydrogen. If these vast clouds of oxygen and hydrogen exist in the remote galaxies, it is likely that life-bearing planets have evolved there also, as they would have the environment necessary to acquire Earth-like atmospheres. On March 13, 1960, the American public awoke to read a news item from New Mexico headlined, "Air Force Checking Crashed Spaceship." The organization releasing the report, Aerial Phenomena Research Organization, had notified Air Force officials in Washington that the group had in its possession actual physical evidence that flying saucers were of extraterrestrial origin. They offered to submit the material to the Air Force for scientific study. Many people have wondered about the incident and what had happened. Few newspapers carried the follow-up on the story. The Air Force agreed to accept DIE evidence, but only on their own terms. This would have enabled them to suppress their actual findings and announce to the world that APRO was indulging in a hoax. Rightfully, APRO declined the Air Force offer. The material that APRO had offered for analysis was acquired from some molten metal that fell over Campinas, Brazil in 1953. Some saucers were hovering over the town in full view of the citizens. One in the middle appeared to be in trouble. As in a similar incident a few years ago in Tacoma, Washington, the crippled saucer discharged some molten material. Pounds of it fell on streets and sidewalks and solidified into a shiny metal. The details of this incident were fully reported in South American newspapers but were kept from reaching the wire services in America. The metal, according to the report I received, was analyzed by both a Brazilian laboratory and a scientist in the United States. It was pure, some reports said, magnesium, which is known only in microscopic quantities on the Earth. It was positive proof that the technology which produced it was not of this Earth. 5. Changes in our system. Recently I read a bulletin from one of the many saucer cults that stated that vast changes were to take place upon the Earth. When these changes occurred, the space people were supposed to fly down and rescue a chosen few out of the world. Nothing could be further from the truth. True, there are changes occurring upon the Earth. Our scientists are well aware of these, and many articles are appearing on the subject in an effort to alert the people of the world to just what is taking place. The IGI was organized in an attempt to learn more about the Earth and its environment. Some of these changes occurring at this time and those which will occur in the near future are natural results of happenings that periodically affect all planets. Earthquakes have always been with us and are a natural phenomenon. Lately they have been coming with greater frequency, and in areas usually not afflicted by this phase of nature. They are a little more severe due to changes going on outside our planet as well as within. Misery and death have always been present at such times. Contrary to the psychic messages supposedly being received from space people, these deaths are not the result of punishment by God but are due to being in the wrong place at the right time. When any certain person, chosen at random, dies in a quake or other acts of God, it is due only to the accident of his or her happening to be there at that particular time. It could just as well have been you or anybody else. If the public would heed warnings of scientists or would pay attention to feelings they might get urging them to leave a certain area, the number of these deaths would be greatly decreased. In nature, we find that the animals are warned ahead of time of certain coming disasters. We are warned in the same way through our impressions or feelings, but we usually ignore such things. Many lives were recently lost in Japan because a tidal wave warning was ignored by thousands of people. Others were saved from destruction because of strong feelings of disaster that they experienced before the event. New York subway officials have commented upon the fact that, on the days a wreck occurred, a lot of regular passengers were missing. Inquiry revealed they had had inner warnings not to ride those particular days. Where do these feelings originate, and why? They originate from the same source as the feelings which alert animals to danger. This is why rats will desert a ship that is going to sink, or animals will flee an area where a fire or flood is going to occur. The term for such alertness to coming events is precognition. Several reasons exist at this time to explain why we have had the sudden increase in natural phenomena such as earthquakes, hurricanes, tornadoes, etc. On October 24, 1959, Dr. Harold D. Babcock, of Mount Wilson and Palomar Observatories, announced that the polarity of the sun's magnetic field had reversed itself. The reversal was slow, taking nearly a year to complete. Before the reversal, the polarity of the sun's field was opposite to that of the Earth's. This change in polarity will affect the Earth in many ways. It will cause the interacting fields of space to attempt a similar change. The Earth's field will be attempting to remain as it is, due to the continued motion of the Earth in its orbital path. The conflict between the Earth trying to remain the same and the reversed field trying to change it, will cause pressures to be exerted that were not apparent before. These will cause new earthquakes in many places that ordinarily are free from such events. Our weather patterns will make abrupt changes as the fields of the Earth gradually change, due to air currents going in new directions. The rivers in the oceans will take new courses, and this will cause changes in ocean temperatures, with resulting changes in the types of marine life found in given areas. The ocean changes are already apparent, because of changes in temperature. Fish formerly caught off California are being caught off Alaskan shores. Sharks are moving into areas of the seas where they were previously unknown. The California climate has turned cooler and damper than in previous years. Other things are starting to happen, independent of nature. These are due to our rocket and satellite experiments. Although these experiments are necessary for the successful conclusion of our scientific program, all are affecting the Earth to a slight degree. These slight changes are being noticed by many people in various countries. Outer space may be compared to a vast sea in a state of apparent inertia. It has great activity within itself, activity so great as to be incomprehensible to our scientific instruments. Without understanding, it may be called stillness. When a rocket ship or satellite passes through, it disturbs this so-called peaceful state, and this produces after-effects upon Earth as well as all the other planets in our system. These effects are usually described as changing weather, or disturbed atmospheric conditions, and are manifest to most people only as a feeling of slight uneasiness. The atmosphere feels heavy and still to them and they can't figure out why they feel as they do. This is not dangerous, but as humans we become aware of that to which we are unaccustomed. These conditions will increase as more satellites and spaceships come and go with our advancement into space. Eventually, by the time we feel the space program has been established, Earth's people will have become accustomed to such changes and will consider conditions normal again. A good example of this is a person who has lived for years in one room without a change of any kind. He has become a part of that room and with the feeling of being united with it. The air currents are the same day after day, just like the furnishings. One day he decides to change the furniture around. Immediately the entire feeling of the room is changed. Air currents that normally follow certain paths are rerouted. Consciously, we are not alerted to these minute changes of air currents. Our subconscious minds are alerted, however, and as a result we sense a subtle difference in our surroundings. The minute radiation patterns of the objects in the room are also different, and we sense these as well. Exactly the same thing is going on in space. Our spaceships and satellites are disturbing the patterns of space, altering pressures, and causing the vastness of space to be agitated differently. We, as humans, sense these small changes and they make us feel uneasy. The most dangerous disturbance of our atmosphere and space is not made by our ships or satellites. It is made by explosions which cause violent upheavals instead of harmonious agitation of our space atmosphere environment. We all know that weather conditions change greatly while a war is going on. This is caused by pressure waves from the explosions reacting upon the normal pressures and densities of our atmosphere. We know that small quantities of matter from a rain-making plane can cause thousands of tons of water to fall in a very short time. In some of our nuclear explosions, whole islands were hurled aloft as minute particles. In one case, about 3 cubic miles of matter was lofted skyward. This great quantity of matter is going to filter down very slowly for decades, and when it does, it affects the weather in general. The changes in the Earth's force field brought about by the hydrogen explosions, combined with the changes caused by the Sun's reversal of polarity, will cause disturbances for many years. There will even be Earth disturbances such as earthquakes, tidal waves, etc., due to these terrific distortions of the natural conditions of space. Even the explosions resulting from separating various stages of our rockets will cause some disturbance. Someday, when we learn to harness natural forces for these purposes, such conditions of change will be eliminated, but we cannot expect normal weather while the pioneer experiments of today are going on. People should not fear these changes, but rather should learn to understand them. That is the price of progress. Once we have established space travel, things will appear to return to normal. They will be different from before, but will be recognized as normal because everyone will be accustomed to the change. The world and the solar system alter their position in relation to man's progress. This may seem dangerous, but is not when properly understood. All progress appears dangerous at first. As an example, when man undertakes to build a highway through the wilderness, he never knows what might be encountered. He feels isolated and anything can be expected to happen. As he goes along, he finds areas where he has to blast and other areas where he moves with ease. He learns as he progresses, even with sacrifices. Once the trees, shrubs, rocks, etc., are removed and the highway completed, the entire atmosphere of the wilderness changes. People drive along the highway with no feeling of insecurity or apprehension. Families stop and have picnics where before danger seemed to lurk. The once forbidding forest is now a park where children laugh and play. This is what is taking place in space and in our atmosphere at this time. As we venture outward, we find some areas that must be blasted, others wherein we move with ease. Areas that seem dangerous now will one day be tourists' delights. As it is on Earth, so it is in space. In the end, the society of the world and system will blend with its environment and with greater understanding move forward. We must keep our goal in mind regardless of appearances, for the attainment is worth all the sacrifices. 6. The symbols. All planets within our system are inhabited. As within a human family, so it is within a system of planets. Individual development varies, also its effects. It is not surprising that humans on our sister planets have learned lessons which differ from those we have learned on Earth. People who have achieved progress without wars have naturally advanced beyond those who repeat their destructive practices through civilization after civilization. Through the years, archaeologists in our world have unearthed many relics of past civilizations, some indicating progress beyond that which we know today, in the field of alchemy, for instance. In many instances, and from remote parts of the world, strange characters have been found inscribed on rocks. Books have been written on these findings, and men are constantly seeking a better understanding of those who left such records. Still, the context of some of these symbols often can only be guessed, since they are remnants of unknown and as yet untraceable languages. As the search continues, with more and more buried cities being unearthed in widely separated parts of the world, a pattern seems to be forming to connect many of the finds. On November 20, 1952, when I had the great pleasure of meeting a man from Venus on a California desert, near Desert Center, he had symbols on the soles of his sandals. These were left in the earth where we stood, and, as told in my report in Flying Saucers Have Landed, plaster casts were made of his footprints. Some friends and I had gone to the desert on this day in the hope of securing photographs of spacecraft.